Hi, everyone. Welcome today. Glad you're all with us here today. We have a lot going on planet Earth, don't we? If you weren't with us a couple days ago, and we did the Earth Overview series, that was a very powerful one. We talked about No More Secrets, and I have to tell you, they laid down some things that we're going to have to dig into, because they laid down some new material that is going to work its way to the top and so forth fairly soon. The new series that we're doing, the Earth Overview series, which is one day only, it's usually 2 hours or somewhere in that neighborhood. That is going to go on for a little bit. They've given me some more pieces of this that they want to cover. And what this is these are large overviews. So it's not like, the next one that we're going to do is about hitting the 8 billion mark on planet Earth. What's going to happen? What takes place if this goes? What goes happen if this goes over here? What and basically some of the other attributes about planet Earth hitting the 8 billion mark sometime next year, sometime early next year. So welcome today. Glad you're all here with us. We're going to be moving rather quickly. We have Allison with us. We have Meg with us. We're going to be going through this whole process. Today, we're going to be working with a couple of different attributes. One in particular that the group wants to work on. Before we go into channel, I want to kind of explain this a little bit, because they had me go in and do some research. They wanted specifically to talk today about mental illness. Besides other things that we're talking about, they wanted specifically to talk about mental illness. Now, to me, it seems like it's almost out of place. I think we had a tremendous move toward and experience with mental illness when we were in this lockdown from the COVID. So many people felt so many different things and so forth that it would have been a good time to do it. Now that's kind of passed a little bit. And by the way, I will bring you up to date on what they're saying about the new COVID variant. But what they're saying here is that with this new COVID variant hasn't changed. They said the same thing applies that they said last time. Every variant that come out will be more contagious and less harmful, at least for the time being. So this is, that one absolutely fits in here too. But we have so many things going on, and why they wanted to talk about mental illness, they've specifically told me we are seeing mental illness play out on our televisions every day. I think they're talking specifically about Putin, although they haven't actually named that. But one of the things they said about it is they had me look up narcissistic personality disorder. It fit really well. One of the things that fits on this that I'm concerned about is this whole thing about chemical weapons. And one of the things about mental illness, and that particular mental illness, is that these people will tend to blame you for what they are doing or what they are about to do. Well, he's getting ready to blame the rest. He's getting ready to blame Ukraine for using chemical weapons, and that will give him permission to do the same. That is what is on the verge right now. And I will say that, and I'm not an expert at psychology in any way, shape, or form, but I will tell you that there are many things that are out of order. Is it strange that we have a leader, world leader, who has a mental, no, it's actually fairly common, folks. It's actually fairly common. And we need to understand mental illness, which we really don't. We put it in a category that is completely off the chart. It's very difficult to understand. But I will tell you, take a look at that. Watch what's happening on the planet today. The group says a lot of this has to do with mental illness and has to do with actually Putin putting himself in a house of mirrors, where he only has yes men to respond to him. They're very careful about what they say, how they say it, because they may not be there tomorrow. That creates a very dangerous situation for a leader, and we are seeing it play out on our globe right now. So with that, we're actually going to work with that today. That's one of the things that the group wants us to hold hands with, not just his mental illness or anybody else, but everybody. We have this on our planet massively right now. Is it going to get better? We're in this squeeze, okay? It's like we've got this little opening here and we're all squeezing together to see who can get through the opening, and all that is causing all sorts of things that we may not have had to dealt with before. But we are dealing with it, and we're going to be dealing with it for a little bit. Is it going to get worse? Well, that's up to us, isn't it? It's up to us as to how we deal with this and where we go. The group did mention that we were actually in World War III already. We're just calling it different things. We're not crossing certain lines and so forth to do that. So in any event, we're going to work with this today as well. We're going to work with a couple different things. We are going to work with the variant that's out. It is scary. It is highly contagious. And although it's not as harmful even as the Omicron variant, it will have, even if you catch it, it's going to take you out for a few days. We don't need this. We're going to work to eradicate this before it starts to completely take over. But I will tell you, the group says it's already all over the United States, all over Europe. It is finding its way into India right now and different major metropolis areas. We're finding that out because we test the sewer water, and we found it in the sewer water already. And not only did we find it in the sewer water at different cities, we're finding a lot of it. So although that hasn't actually popped up and seen it in the hospitals, the good news about it, for those of you who take the vaccines like I do, the vaccines seem to work on this one even better than they did on Omicron. And these are all early reports. We'll have to wait and see where this goes with the whole process. But anyway, that's what we're going to be working with here today. I just wanted to kind of give you the group's view of where things are right now. I know that we have a lot of arguments about this and that and all the rest of it. But all I can do is give you where the group shows me where we're going and kind of what that's all about. So welcome today. Glad you're here. I am going to turn around and get into my channeling camera, which is a little easier to work with. But thanks for being with us today. We're gonna start moving through quite a few energies here together. Okay, a couple of quick announcements I want to tell you about because things are really building up here. We do try to cut down on the amount of email that we send out, so I'm going to make a couple of announcements as to what's coming next and where we're going because I'm very excited about it. The next one of it we just did the Earth Overview series, which was all about No More Secrets. And the whole idea is not where it's going, but where are we right at this moment? We've been talking about No More Secrets for years. And for this time, the group took the opportunity to say, here's where you are right now. Now, where you go and everything else is entirely up to you. That's not what the group's saying is you have to go down here, or you need to go this way, or that anything is right and wrong. But what they are saying is that you have a huge connection to that there as well. So with that, we're going to be using that today quite a bit to work with. We're also going to do our normal healing circle and bring someone into it if you have someone you'd like to bring in. And we hope that you get the opportunity to ask them if it's okay. And you can just simply say, you know, I get together with this group of people. We do a healing circle. Would you mind if I bring you into the healing circle? Why do you do that? Because it makes a huge difference. They're the ones that can heal themselves, not you. You can give them energy. You can give them a push. You can give them, create them a space, but you can't heal them. Real simple. They can heal themselves. And if they know it's coming, they will gear up for it. So that's why you always try to get permission. If they say you'd rather not, just honor them. Real simple. At that point, it becomes your need instead of theirs. So we try to keep those straight too. Today is a very magnanimous day. I hope you all enjoy what I'm enjoying, but today is a day of colors. Today is the Holi Festival of colors in India, in the Hindi religion. Excuse me, it's a lot in India, but it's more than that. This is that dust that they send up in the air. It's kind of like a chalk that they send out, and they have more fun with this day. This day is all about creating the colors and creating the expertise. You might say that in some ways it had a little bit to do, because they also use this for bringing in their crops and for the season end. But this one is pretty much just about fun. It's just about having a ball and enjoying yourself. One of the things that they say about this is the Festival of Lights. This is the place where they literally have all kinds of fun with the colors and be able to do that. So anyway, we're with you on that today. So thanks for all being with us, and we can all celebrate that in a very magical way. I just want to find out where you get that dust. I don't know where that, it looks like chalk, but I'm sure there's a place that sells it, but I have no idea where it is. We'll find it. We'll bring it to you. So with that, I'm going to be stepping into channel here in just a minute to start to come up with our first channel. With that, we will do our healing circle. We will bring some things in. We have Meg with us, of course, with a really nice piece today. And also we have Allison with us to bring us up to date on what's taken place as far as the cosmos, as far as the pull of the universe in different ways with her astrology. So we'll be getting all to that in just a second. I do want to take just a moment and kind of just do a little breathing myself, do my own spiral meditation. That's the other piece that I wanted to bring up too. We're going to be doing this next week is the time that we go into the EES, the Espavo Empowerment Stream. And this month in the Empowerment Stream, we're going to be presenting something called the Spiral Meditation. Now, I've already got some feedback on it, and I already know that some people are afraid of getting dizzy. Relax, we are not going to spin around. Like, that is not what we're doing. We are not doing the spinning thing, okay? That's not what the spiral meditation's about. One aspect in particular is about moving in that fashion. But it's done emotionally. It's done mentally. It's done in the spirit, not the physical body. So I just want to let you know that we're actually going to be covering quite a few things in this seminar. We've got 3 days and 4 days with the people who are going to the special access day as well. And we're going to be covering all sorts of different types of ways to get you into this meditative state. Okay. The group will tell you it's really good for you. It's all about the vagus nerve and the vagus activations we've been doing for years as light masters. This is basically the next level of that, what is going to take place with it, how we're introducing it, and where it's going. And the spiral meditation, we're going to cover all sorts of meditations. The group's going to take you through so many different ways of reaching this state of peace, of beauty. And the whole idea for that is for you to find what works for you. We want you to be able to pick up little pieces. You may find the whole technique of technique number 2 or technique number 23 or whatever we show you. And we're not going to break them down into those things. But we're going to show you all sorts of different ways of reaching that state quickly. Are we going to teach you how to meditate in the traditional way? No. Are we going to teach you hypnosis? No. Although we're going to use pieces from all of those things. What we're going to do is show you several different techniques about being able to get into that state very quickly. That was the whole purpose. My brain works a little bit different than most people. And when I'm sitting there trying to meditate and find my center and stop thinking, it doesn't work. The brain just goes crazy. So they showed me different ways. And those are the things that we're going to share with you. Is it for everyone? Well, no, we hope that we're able to give you some ideas, but some of you are expert meditators already. So some of you aren't going to really change your method of doing it, but we hope to give you some new ideas to be able to do it while you're walking down the street. What if you could drop into that state in the middle of a conversation? Would that help? Those are the things we're going to show you because that's what the group showed me. And I have been using it massively. I've been using it tremendously for quite some time. So that's where we're going today. That's the next piece that's coming up. After that, we go back to the one day next month, which is the Earth Overview. And the Earth Overview series in that time is going to talk about hitting the 8 billion mark. We're going to talk about what happens. We're going to talk about what the Earth is going to decide, when she's going to decide, what that decision is going to look like, how we're going to know what's going to take place, every other aspect of it. And I will tell you, the group is not going to tell you that she decided this or she decided that. That's going to be something we all perceive probably within months after this takes place, probably within the same year. And we still don't know when we're going to hit the 8 billion mark. Everybody's got different figures of it and so forth. And the group says early 2023, usually around March or April. So we're on the last countdown. Enjoy this journey. Here we go. And that's not that the Earth is going to end, but she's making a decision at that point. She has to kind of reweigh her options and reconnect in different ways. And that's what's going to be taking place about a year from now. So we're going to be talking about that coming up in the next Earth Overview. That's the one-day series next month for April. All right? Good. Okay, I'm going to take a little breath and come down and join you all and drop into the channel. Thanks for being with us here. You know, when we hold hands, we can create miracles. Yes, we're all creator beings, each of us individually as well as together. But when we hold hands, it's not one to double, to triple, to quadruple. It's exponential, and it moves unbelievably. We have incredible power when we come together and just hold our hands. And that's what we're going to do here just right now. Let's have everybody give me just a moment.
Breathe, dear ones. Greetings. I am Observer. I join you with great pride this day, for your world is changing, dear ones. Every moment, every breath that you take is bringing a new opportunity of light, a new expression, one that you probably haven't seen before. Yes, we know it's difficult moving into the darkness, not being able to see where you are. We also tell you, you're well guided. Each of you has an internal guidance system that is incredibly tuned. The hard part about it is it means you must let go in order to engage the system. But you can do that now, especially since you're amongst family. Take a breath, dear ones. And release all of it right now and just shake your hands. Release all the challenges and difficulties that you've been working with today. You can pick them back up in a few moments. But right now, find the core energy of you. Excellent. Can you feel the smile moving to your face very slowly? Take a deep breath and release it very slowly. Excellent. Energetically reach out your hands. If there are other people in the room and you wish to hold hands with them, that's fine. But if not, take the energy of all that have gathered here at this moment and know that your special, unique abilities are coming together to create something very magical. You made it. You're on time. Oh yes, we know many of you still don't quite know what that means or where that is going, but you're closer than you think. There's a beautiful change coming, dear ones, for all of you. You've been talking about it for a long time. You've all intrinsically known about what is taking place. But we tell you, it's magical indeed. It could not happen until everyone was in place, till everyone had taken their spot, and there was a balance of energy and a balance of power. That is starting to unfold right now. But as it does, let's loosen some of the kinks in the system. Let's straighten out some of those energy difficulties that all of you've worked with. So take it open. Open your heart and bring the energy in through your left hand and take it out through your right. Let it move and strike your heart first. Perfect. Every breath, new energy coming in through the heart and out. Inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. What we're telling you, dear ones, is when you exhale, it moves around the Earth 7 times every second at 186,000 miles per second, the speed of love. Breathe. Connect. Feel it straightening out the kinks in your own being. All the challenges, the mental difficulties you have, the problems you can't quite solve, physical attributes that are amiss in your own body. Lay them out. Allow this energy to circulate in a very grand fashion, clearing your energy as it does, connecting you with every other being. Excellent. Well done, dear ones, well done. And now, before we go any further, if you have someone you'd like to wrap up in your arms and bring into this healing circle. Many times, your awareness, your illnesses, your distractions are in trying to heal someone else. So we'll invite you to bring that into the circle now. If the person has been told about it, if they've given their permission, just know that it will be that much more effective. But release. Give yourself permission to move into that energy right now. And while this energy is still moving in that fashion, wrap your arms around them and bring them in front of you. Let them feel that light as it moves through your body and theirs simultaneously. Good. Breathe in and out. Well done, dear ones, well done. Now, take another breath and clear your energy. Now we're going to work with this virus. The virus is in a constant state of survival. It is constantly mutating to find new ways of life, to be able to maybe find a harmony. Interestingly enough, it's losing its difficulties. It's losing its harmfulness, but yet still manages to move from one person to the other, even with increased abilities now. The contagion of this new virus, this new part of it, is massive. And it will certainly hit the places where vaccines are low and where other preparations have not been made. But right now, as it's still forming, as it's still spreading, you can have a profound effect on this right now. Hold it in front of you. Dare to place it right in your heart. No, it can't hurt you. You surrounded it with love. Let it feel you. And once again, bring the energy around from everyone together. Feel the kinks moving through you, starting to straighten out everywhere. Feel the resistance even in your own heart starting to lessen. The energy is now flowing through it comfortably. Feel the smile starting to return to your face. Well done, dear ones. And let them go in love. Well done, dear ones. Now we have one more attribute we wish to bring to the circle before we release it this day. And that is mental illness in general. Yes, we know most people do not understand it. Many people fear it. What if we told you that every single one of you has some form of what you have classified as mental illness? Just breathe. It only becomes a problem when it takes over your life, dear ones. It only becomes a problem when it grabs you and won't let go. So we're going to work with that in general. For the collective vibration of humanity is going to work to tamp that down right now. on every place throughout the planet. Once again, bring whatever you would consider that. Bring it right to your own heart. Knowing that sometimes you just don't feel good. Oh, all of those can be part of this. And much, much more. So open your heart and breathe that one in. Good. Once again, take a deep breath, and as you release it slowly, let that energy out. Once again, bring the circle around, coming into the left hand, going through the heart, clearing all that energy out and exiting through the right. Breathe. Good. Well done, dear ones, well done. We have some news for you, which we will bring to you at the close of today. You've reached a marker. It's beautiful. Now you have an incredible chance to take this all to the next level, consciously. We'll tell you more about that as the Keeper of Time comes in with that information. But your world is changing, dear ones. You have a great heart. You are masters of the game board. Masters of love, each and every one of you. Touch each other. Reflect that light every chance you get, reminding everyone of home, the place where you all came from, where you all will return to after playing this momentary game. It's an expression of light well beyond your knowing. But you are that light. Allow it. Encourage it. Give it whenever possible. Let people see it in your eyes, in your smile. Every part of you. So take a deep breath. Anchor that beautiful energy in your own heart. And know that anything you bring in here can be smoothed out, especially with the aid of the family of E, who's all around you. Well done, dear ones, well done. And with that, we now leave you for a time to come back together of light, to come back together in a family. Holding hands, creating the magic that's all around you. You are creator beings, each and every one of you. And yet when you hold hands, magic takes place. It unfolds because that creations combine and take you well beyond your first understanding of creation. Take a breath and release. So with the greatest of honor, we ask you to treat each other with respect, nurture one another at every opportunity, and play well together. Aspavo, dear ones. I am Observer. I like to watch. Aspavo.
Hello, I'm Alison Chester Lambert. I'm an astrologer and I'm here to talk about the astrology going forward from today, March the 18th, into the end of March and into April. But so much exciting stuff left before March ends, so I've got lots to tell you. So stop the video and go and fetch a pen and a paper, because you'll never remember all these dates. I've got them written all around me, and I'm going to be going scratch, scratch, scratch with paper whilst I'm talking to you, because it gets a little bit complicated and I'll never remember. So I'll begin at the beginning, shall I? So we start this period, March the 18th forward, with a full moon in the zodiac sign of Virgo. And so what is all that about? So it means the sun is in Pisces and the moon is on the opposite of the sky in Virgo. So it's the Pisces-Virgo axis which is highlighted. So what is likely to be the theme? What are the themes when this once a year full moon occurs? Well, the axis of Pisces and Virgo is all about health, really. And so we're likely to get health issues come up with this one. And it's also about service. Now, when I say service, I mean service to the body, service to the health, service to well-being and good health. And so it might be about equipping your medicine chest with a whole new range of vitamins and minerals, that kind of stuff. But it also is probably about arranging doctor's appointments, that kind of stuff, dental appointments. These are the things that tend to come up at this time. If we look at, what happens elsewhere? What about the mood? What about the emotions? This is when one side wants to go in for the fine detail of something and another side says it doesn't matter. This is a time when you really want to be looking at everything and getting all of the detail out of it, so you're really well informed and you can think about something and go over it and over it. But actually, although you might want to do that, it's impossible. You're overwhelmed. And so it's a fight against something or someone that seems to be undoing everything that you are trying to put together. So there you are trying to put your sandcastles together on the beach and the water comes up and washes all your sandcastles away. It's that kind of feeling, like there's a whole tidal wave coming towards you with chaos in it. And you're just never going to be able to, you know, keep everything on those knitting needles. There'll be drop stitches all over the place. So that's really kind of where we are for this full moon. But the other thing, the full moon is leading us in to what looks like a rather kind of unsettled period, which is complex, but only complex because some very direct energy is going to come ripping through, and anything that was at its tipping point is just going to go off the edge. So I'll just explain this a bit more. So the sun is about to move into Aries. And so it's about to go over the cusp between Pisces and Aries. Now, this actually represents for astrology our new year, because Pisces is the end of the zodiac circle around us and the beginning is Aries. And there is a name for this. It's called the equinox. Equinox, nox meaning night. So that's telling us straight away that the equinox means that the hours of day and night, or the light and dark parts of the day, are equal at this time of the year. And that actually goes all the way up to the Arctic Circle, wherever you are on this planet, ignoring the two polar regions, that you will have equal day and night around this time. So that all sounds very harmonious and fair-minded. However, this is also the period when we get the greatest geomagnetic activity, because as the sun gets exactly over our equator, then all of the solar wind and the coronal mass ejections and all of that highly charged particles heading towards us manage to access our environment. So there are splits in the protective bubble around us, and some of the solar wind comes rushing in. And so that actually makes for one of the most highly charged times of the year in terms of geomagnetic activity and ionizing that kind of stuff, quantum particles. It's the stuff around our planet is really sort of thrown into high activity. We, after all, the planets in this solar system all live in the garden of the sun. The sun is, if you like, the house, and we're all in the garden. So we can't escape what's happening in the house. It's a similar environment. So that enhanced geomagnetic energy filters down through the different levels and layers of our atmosphere and eventually becomes our weather. So I think here in the UK, you know, we've got a tradition really about the, you know, the winds of March and this sort of stuff. So you can get an idea from that, where we get, you know, the idea of March, well, here in the UK anyway, being very kind of wild. There you go. Okay, now, this year, this point where the sun goes from Pisces, so 29 degrees and 55 minutes of arc of Pisces, and just tips over into 0 degrees of Aries, it doesn't actually happen on the 21st this year. It actually happens on the 20th. There's always a couple of days either side. This is why when you write at the edge of a zodiac sign, you don't know if you're that zodiac sign or the one next to you, because there's always a couple of days where it slips around. But anyway, this year it's on the 20th. And so we get this full moon in Virgo, and then straight after that, 2 days after that on the 20th, we're at the tipping point where the sun slips into Aries. And this is quite a significant difference, because Pisces is very laid back, very emotional, very weepy. We don't feel as if we have any strength. We feel impotent, powerless. Whereas in Aries, wow, Aries just comes out of that trap like a hare in greyhound racing. Whoosh! Away we go. And it's that change into highly excitable energy which will cause things to become a bit complex for us, because we have situations that really didn't need any more energy and now they're going to get it. This can be a good thing or a bad thing. It can mean there's energy to find, for instance, a more peaceful situation in the war in Ukraine, but it might mean there's more energy on one side or the other, and that could change the war because one side becomes much more aggressive than the other, or suddenly feels freed up to behave like that. None of us have any idea of quite how this will go. I just know that it will be powerful and it will be sudden and energy will be introduced. So we've got all this stuff happening around the next few days, and we've also got something else going on, and that is we have Mars coming in and lending the planet Chiron and the planet Uranus a lot of energy. It's like a shot of adrenaline, a shot of testosterone, and so this is going to upset the apple cart. Things will become very sudden, shocking things that you wouldn't believe. Things are suddenly broken up or broken down or broken free. Up becomes down, black becomes white. And it's the very suddenness of all of this that throws us again into complexity, because it's so fast moving. We will almost wish that we're back in Pisces land of the last month, where we didn't feel effectual, that we didn't feel as if we had any energy. We'll go into such high speed energy, we'll think, whoa, I wish I was back in those sleepy times. So we've got that happening. And I think we also need to think about the terrible, dreadful war in the Ukraine, and my heart goes out to these people. I sit and watch the news at night and I'm just crying, because I just feel such, well, I felt so Pisces, so utterly helpless and so utterly incapable of doing anything. And I so much wanted to. So, I mean, you do the usual stuff and, you know, send your money away to the charities and all the rest of it. But I'm hoping that the move into Aries will help us help them better. I'm hoping that there will be a much more speeded up response to getting something worked out for these poor people. Anyway, prayers for them. But there's something else coming up as well that I kind of want to highlight for you. And it's a bit of a strange one. As we get towards the 28th of March, and I'm really going to package up the 28th of March to the 2nd of April, I think, that whole period. The sun is about to go conjunct Chiron and opposite the dwarf planet Makemake. Now, these two have been responsible for signifying or symbolising the whole pandemic thing. So the sun going into league with them, getting into the same part of the sky, tells a story that something about the pandemic is going to break, that there'll be some kind of discovery or an enlightenment, something will be revealed. The sun has a very positive energy, and it can really only bring positive results. So there is something there where we learn something, or there is a breakthrough that is helpful. And so that's good news. And let's hope that comes about. But there's also something else going on here. And so it's another part of the story, and I'll try to describe it to you. So at the same time, on the 28th, we've got Saturn, Juno, and Venus all together in one part of the sky in Aquarius. And the moon gets in there for a couple of hours as well, which is quite important. And what does that mean whilst the sun is going conjunct to Chiron? This guy is trying to tell me something here. And what I get is that Juno, who is really a planet that causes problems for us. Juno is the old goddess energy of Isis, Cabella, Sibyl, and really is no great fan of the human race, if I'm honest. She represents relating for us, but she represents relating in every single way that we can relate. So fighting, falling out, divorcing, as well as the romance of relating. And on a bigger level, she represents some quite difficult and highly charged things. Now, Saturn and her getting together means that she is held back. She is put in bondage. She is stopped from working. She is quietened. Something quietens her down. And so she isn't allowed to express herself in the way that she would normally. So this tells me that if Hera is silenced, Juno Hera, is silenced, and we have the sun going conjunct Makemake, going conjunct Chiron opposite Makemake, this tells me that there is some benefit here for the human race to do with this pandemic. There is some breakthrough that is of good quality, of something kind to the human race. So I'm looking forward to that one. That's good. Now I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to give you an overview now of the general stuff at the moment. Whilst the war in the Ukraine is so absolutely horrendous, I can't believe it. Nevertheless, I want to point something out. We have a backdrop here, which is all about the rise of the feminine. It's been all about the rise of the feminine for 2 years. And I predicted this in 2015, as you know. And what is this war doing? I mean, apart from all the horror and the challenge of the human race coming together and helping in this awful situation, the war is also once again restricting growth. Once again, because of the oil and the gas situation, there is going to be a challenge to that unrelenting, charge forward, masculine growth, always going for economic, commercial, industrial growth. Again, it's going to be held back. So in the background, once again, we see the rise of the feminine as an overall backdrop to whatever else this war and what the cosmos has in mind for us and what we're supposed to be learning from this war. So I think that's something to bear in mind. This is a month where, with the sun going into Aries, it isn't a month, is it? Sorry, this is a four-week period where, with the sun going into Aries, we really need to be picking up speed, getting a lot more energy into our lives. And in that way, we'll be living the promise of spring, the promise of Aries and fire energy in all its youthfulness. I hope that was useful. Do have a reading with me. I would love to hear from you. It's so great. We get together on Skype with a cup of coffee and have a 90-minute session. And by the time we've finished, all things are solved and all worries are gone. And we've got a roadmap for the future, which is brilliant. I look forward to speaking to you. You just need to Google Alison Chester Lambert. And thank you very much for listening. I hope that made some sense. I'll see you next month. Bye.
Thanks, Alison. All right, now we got Meg coming up.
Hi, everybody. So nice to be here with you on the Global Light broadcast for April. We are in mid-March now, and boy, are we living in unprecedented times, times that I'm sure none of us wanted to think would become a reality, and it has. We are witnessing the war in Ukraine, and I know it's in all of our hearts and on all of our minds. But first, before I jump into my segment, I want to just once again really honor Steve and thank Steve and the whole team here and Alison, all the contributors to this broadcast. I am so, so proud to be a part of not only this broadcast, but this nonprofit organization that reaches tens of thousands of people around the globe every single month, providing this broadcast free of charge so that we can come together and we can share ideas and have conversations and do work. I think it's extraordinary what he has built, and I am just so very honored to be a part of it. So thank you for that. It matters now more than ever. So today what I want to talk about is how we can contribute, right? Contribution seems to be key right now. And there are these logical ways to contribute. You can donate money to nonprofits, to people that are on the ground. You can, one idea that got out there, I'm not sure who started it. My research was inconclusive on that. Quentin Tarantino took credit for it on Twitter, so he may have been the originator of the idea. I don't know for sure. But whoever put that out there into the collective, it lit like a wildfire and spread around the world. And the idea was, if you want to get money into Ukrainian hands, into local citizens to support them so that they could go out and buy supplies that they needed, the idea was book an Airbnb. Make sure it's not corporately owned. Do your research. Make sure that it's independently owned. And you can do that by searching it on Airbnb and then contacting the individual. This bypasses it going to banks, taking 6 or 7 days for transfers to take place. Airbnb has it in their account quickly. And so you book a holiday that you have no intention of keeping. So we did that. We booked a week in Kyiv. And you just pick your dates, and immediately Airbnb takes the money from your account and puts it in their account, and they get notification of it. And you can let them know that you have no intention of staying in their Airbnb, but you just wanted to find a way to support them. So people around the world were doing this. They raised millions of dollars that were directly placed in the hands of Ukrainian citizens. That was a brilliant, brilliant idea. So there are these logical ways. Now there's a whole movement of helping artists, and they're just selling digital postcards, digital work on Etsy that you can go in and buy their digital work. It's an instant download, and that also gets money into their account quickly and easily. There are the big organizations, UNICEF, and all the humanitarian organizations and so forth. But what else can we do? How do we contribute? And that's what I want to focus my piece on today, is about this contribution concept. So as a clinical hypnotherapist, from my perspective, I want to talk first about the law of correspondence. The law of correspondence has three components to it. The first is projection. We, each of us, have programming. That's all of our memories are in our subconscious mind. And any experiences that we've had throughout life that may not have been all that comfortable, or may have been scary, or may have been shamed or criticized or ridiculed. I mean, who as a child doesn't have a memory somewhere of not feeling like they fit in, or not feeling like they were good enough, or feeling like they were singled out in class, or felt silly for not having the right answer, or, you know, took criticism very personally? We have to remember that what we call the critical factor, the analyzer, that inner chatterbox, does not come online until the age of 7. And it matures between 7 and 11, kind of explains teenagers, doesn't it? So that critical analyzer is always working, looking and analyzing imagery and information, how we perceive our reality, and measuring it against our programming, our subconscious memories and our programming. But that's not there until 7, which means every experience in life that we have up until the age of 7 goes directly into our subconscious mind. That becomes programming. And negative programming becomes the dominant programming, because our subconscious mind is always trying to keep us safe. So, projection is when we take that dominant programming and we project it out onto people, places, and things. That is projection. That is how we perceive the world. We project our programming onto it and perceive it back. Like a movie camera, if you imagine your mind to be like a movie camera, you are projecting that imagery and that programming out onto the world around you and perceiving it in that way to match your programming. And we also have attraction. The second component is attraction, and we magnetically attract back to us that which matches our dominant subconscious programming. Dominant being the key word. Keep that in mind. The third component is transfiguration, and that's what we're going to dive into today. Transfiguration has also been called pipelining. And to give you an example, to give you imagery first, transfiguration is when we are capable of holding a resolve within us, and that gets pipelined out to others without any push. It's a natural occurrence. It's not, we're not pushing an agenda. We're not projecting, right? Projection, attraction, pipelining, transfiguration, a natural occurrence where others begin to act out or change, alter their behavior based on the resolve that we are holding within us. It is transfigured to others. I talked many broadcasts back about the Maharishi experiment, and I want to explain that again, because this is the example of transfiguration, and it was scientifically proven. So the Maharishi effect, in 1960, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, he predicted that 1% of a population practicing transcendental meditation could and would produce measurable improvements in the quality of life for the whole population. The first statistical analysis of the effects was published in 1987, where crime rates dropped by 11% in Washington, D.C., Manila, and New Delhi. It showed that it was possible to lodge a prediction in advance with the police and then create the desired effect. So in 1993, this was put to the test in Washington, D.C., under the careful scrutiny of a review board. The maximum decrease in crime, you ready? This was over a 24-hour period with a group of meditation teachers. They'd worked in shifts, so it was a 24-hour shift rotation of being in meditation, meditating on peace, just holding the resolve of peace within them, not pushing anything out, going within. the maximum decrease in crime was 23.3% in the city. Achieving this in a 24-hour period, a 23% unexplainable drop in crime rate, the statistical probability of that was less than 2 in 1 billion. Billion with a B. Their formula is proportional to the square of the number of participants. I won't get into that, but let's just say, for example, 1,600 people in the United States would influence 256 million people. Now, broadcast, global movement, you see where I'm going? So today, I'm challenging you. I would like us all to commit to a daily practice of just 5 or 10 minutes every day. People from around the world watch this broadcast. We have the capability of a continual ability to stay in that place of peace around the clock, given all of our different time zones, if everybody gave 5 to 10 minutes of their day. So let's break that down. What would we focus on? How does this work? How are we pipelining? Is it just the thoughts of peace? So I want to get into some specifics here. If we were to connect to President Zelensky, and I'll explain why beyond the obvious in a minute, and assist in pipelining his vision. So not putting ourselves, not making us the story, not interjecting us into it, but literally pipelining to his frequency or resonance. You see, in meditation in the East believed that the teacher would put himself into meditation and then all the students would connect to that guru, to that teacher. And then that would be pipelined out. In the West, we learn to put ourselves in that place. It's within us. So what if in this experiment, Zelensky was at the center and we put ourselves into whatever relaxed state that you do, but we just had the intention to connect to his resolve because he is at the epicenter of this. And I'm going to explain that in a minute. But if we were to connect to his vision of a free and sovereign Ukraine and see everyone involved begin to act that vision out, right? Alter the behavior, crime rate drop by 23.3%, holding the resolve of peace. Did we actually go in and collapse anyone's programming? No. But they altered their behavior anyway because there was a strength in the pipelining energy. I've been asked by a few people, you know, why is everyone, and they meant it respectfully, they didn't mean it disrespectfully, but why is the world responding to this? And maybe in the past, the world didn't respond as well to other humanitarian crises. And I really don't know the answer to that. I only have my opinion. I'm not a political analyst. I am not a politician. So I can only speak from, you know, my perspective and my understanding as a hypnotherapist. And I'm fascinated by what I'm seeing. Because in other situations like Venezuela was brought up, Syrian refugees were brought up. And when I started to think about it, this is what came to mind for me. Syria was and still is a multi-fractured situation. It involves Turkey and Russia and the rule of the Assads. It began back in March of 2015 after a four-decade rule by the Assads and an uprising of the people not wanting to be oppressed any longer. And Venezuela had been, again, under such oppression. People were starving. They were running for their lives, trying to escape Maduro and Chavez. So there's commonality in those two that isn't comparable to Ukraine. And here's why. In Ukraine, there's been a conflict, yes, since 2014 when Russia annexed Crimea. And they did that in an undeclared war, as they're trying to do again now, not calling it a war, not making it legal to even say war in Russia without a penalty of a new law of 15 years imprisonment. Russia annexed Crimea, and annexed means took, you know, just acquired a piece of another country, took it. But it was annexed illegally against all international laws. And they were trying to hide their involvement in doing so. But why is the world rising together and feeling so compelled now? Are we more conscious? Are there more conscious beings on the planet? Is the internet more effective? Is social media being used more appropriately? Is the center of the conflict a leader with irrefutable resolve? In my opinion, yes, yes, and yes. There is more consciousness on the planet. We are using the internet for good. Yes, there's all kinds of fake news and all kinds of disinformation, but there are also a lot of great people finding each other in groups, finding new friends, I have made more friends in the Ukraine in the last 2 weeks than I have made in any other country in the world, simply because it's easy to do so. Go out, find them, make some new friends, ask if they're okay. There are a ton of people that are, you know, writing in their journals every day, sharing it with people, and they are reading all of your responses back to them, and that is giving them assistance to keep their resolve. So social media can be used for good. And do we have a leader at the center of this that has this irrefutable resolve of freedom and pride at their sovereignty? Yes, we do. They have not had that. I think something within each of us knows that the outcome of this sets the path for all of us on Earth. At least that's how I feel. That's what my heart speaks to me. The outcome of this is important. It feels like another fork in the road. Where are we going to go in this direction where we stand together? Or are we going to go in this direction where autocracy is very likely? We can hold strong together for peace and freedom, or we can enter another period of long conflict and escalate throughout all of Europe and the West, essentially a world conflict. And interestingly enough, today, the airing of the broadcast, the International Court of Justice in The Hague will issue a ruling on war crimes. So President Zelensky has become the most adored leader around the world, around the whole world. We wake up, we check on Zelensky, and then we have our morning coffee or our tea. How many of us are doing that every day? All right, I do my hypnosis first. I do my self-hypnosis first, and then I get my phone and I check on Zelensky. It's the first thing I do, and then I check on my friends in the Ukraine. He won the election by a 73% Democratic landslide, even though he had been a comedian and an actor before becoming a political activist. And a lot of people know that he actually played a president on a popular Ukrainian comedy show. So, I mean, you just can't even make that up. However, what a lot of people don't know and what they're not saying is that he is very, very intelligent. He was born in central Ukraine and he had a very happy childhood. And he earned a law degree from the University in Kyiv, the National Economic University in Kyiv. A lot of people don't know that. And if that weren't enough, he naturally, just naturally, not even practiced or rehearsed. He says lines that are like movie star lines. And he means them. When he was asked by the US president and the French president if they could arrange his safe departure from Ukraine to enable his survival from death threats, so that he could continue to rule Ukraine safely from another country, he responded quite matter-of-factly, I need ammunition. I need the means. I need ammunition, not a ride. The fight is here. I'm not leaving. He's also said, we're Ukrainian. When they come, they'll see our faces, not our backs. That's like John Wayne out of a movie to me when I hear things like that. And during the heaviest shelling in Kyiv just this week, just these past 48 hours, President Zelensky left his bunker to visit wounded soldiers at hospitals and provide both them and the doctors and nursing staff, the people caring for these soldiers, medals of honor to thank them personally. He took selfies with some of them, thanking them for their service. He is so beloved for this because he walks his talk. He speaks regularly via video to all of his people. And I can't tell you how many Ukrainians that I have spoken to that have told me when they hear his voice, they are reassured. And they are so very, very proud to be Ukrainian. So he is at the center, right? When we think in terms of transfiguration and pipelining, it is his resolve. Psychologically, this is a far cry from President Putin, if we were to compare. Putin was born in what was then called Leningrad, which is St. Petersburg now. He lived in deep poverty and he shared communal living space with five other families. And it was reported that as a child, he carried a stick. There was a PBS documentary on him that's worth watching. It was reported that as a child, he carried a stick, a long stick, to fend off rats in the stairwells as he climbed home to his family's fifth floor living space every day. He revealed in an official biography that he began to study the rats. And one night, in his words, a huge rat was cornered and he had nowhere to go, so it turned on him and it attacked him. That frightened him as a child. During his life, he's had several cornered rat moments, which have likely shaped his thinking and behavior. Think in terms of programming. He learned to be a street fighter from that experience, growing up in such poverty and studying those rats and their behavior. And that earned him admission into the Soviet intelligence services as a KGB official. He too studied law. Don't know if you know that, at Leningrad University, and he too earned a law degree. He worked as a KGB foreign intelligence officer for 16 years, rising to lieutenant colonel before shifting into a political career. In 1989, with the fall of the Berlin Wall, came the collapse of the Soviet Union, leaving Putin and 800,000 KGB officers abandoned. The KGB were always known to be suspicious of everyone, including each other. There is much public record of the internal corruption of the KGB. And it's interesting how we're back to the metaphor of cornered rats. Having to carry a long stick to defend yourself, being untrusting of your circumstances at all times. And at this point, as a hypnotherapist, I start to think of the karma between the two of them. What karma are these two men working out right now that we are witnessing? One negotiating for peace and the other hitting out with a stick for ultimate power and control. As a child, Zelensky lived for 4 years in the city of Erdenet, I'm sorry if I'm not saying that correctly, E-R-D-E-N-E-T in Mongolia, where his mother worked as an engineer and his father a scientist, and participated in the construction of a mining and processing plant. Raised by very intelligent parents, learning about communities in the world. He received his first widespread fame in the club of the cheerful and resourceful as a member of the student team, cheerful and resourceful. And at the time of the election, a vote for him, an actual vote for him, was an act of defiance at the time. He was considered the new world of politics. On his New Year's 2019 announcement, New Year's Eve, to run for president, he said, "We will write my program together with you. we will write together with the people, the whole country. Then we will find ways to solve all problems, and then we will bring them to life. We'll create them. Again, think in terms of resolve, transfiguration, pipelining. Including everyone, we'll do this together. Unity versus fear. To the collapse of the world of only the top few thriving and all others paying way more than their fair share. To transparency and hope. In fact, he's just recently put out a statement saying that the Ukrainians, if they only have to pay one voluntary tax now, and if they can't, there will be no questions asked. A world, think of a world where we write it together, everyone inclusive, and then we find ways to solve the problems and bring it to life. So my thinking is that we can help through transfiguration. There's a great effect that we can have. Even though we're not politicians, many of us cannot go to fight. Yes, we're doing obvious things, donating, offering our homes as shelter, providing care, dropping off goods and resources, helping connect people together. In fact, I just recently read about two Harvard students that created a website that will connect people who have places in their homes to offer shelter with those who are in need of it. You can connect through their website. We can also connect to and create and maintain that law of correspondence through transfiguration, with Zelensky at the center, with that focus on peace, freedom, and an end to the invasion, and an end to the violence, a new world, and a new way forward. Your focus and behavior is scientifically proven. Remember, Washington, 23.3% drop in crime rate in a 24-hour period. It's proven that you can affect those around you. Will you commit 5-10 minutes every day? Putting yourself into a relaxed state, shifting into parasympathetic drive, focusing on connecting your energies to Zelensky at the center where you see him, focused on peace and freedom and sovereignty for Ukraine. If you'd like to, what I'd like to do is just take you through a quick little experiment of that. We could do it now, and then you can just reconnect to that at any point each day. Just close your eyes for a minute. I'd like you to just take 3 deep breaths. We always take 3 deep breaths in hypnotherapy because the body begins to shift into parasympathetic drive. And in parasympathetic drive, we have access to problem-solving intelligence. When we close our eyes, we close access to the visual cortex. And in doing so, that sends a signal to the brain, and the brain begins to fire off alpha waves. Just like we do when we're about to go to sleep, the body puts itself into rest and resources. So we shift into parasympathetic drive. And the deeper we go into parasympathetic drive, the deeper we drop the brain waves down, the more resources we have access to. And in hypnotherapy, that's the superconscious mind. Superconscious mind is that field, the source, the universe that exists outside of just our physical bodies. And that is the true source of unity and love. That is where divine problem-solving intelligence is accessed. And so as we deeply breathe, and we feel our body completely relaxing. We focus and visualize seeing President Zelensky sitting in a chair in contemplation as he's seeing the Ukraine that he loves so deeply. And we start to connect to that resolve of peace and freedom. And we start to see and feel a magnetism that resonates within us, that we're in harmony with. And we start to see that without any agenda or effort, there is no push in pipelining. It just begins to emanate naturally. From your body outward, a ripple effect. And again, the resolve is the focus on peace, freedom, a sovereign Ukraine. And we feel that ripple out across all of the boundaries through time and space, like a protective dome over Ukraine. And it spreads even beyond that, across all the borders and lines in the sand drawn to reach all countries around the world currently witnessing all discussions in parliament, all negotiations, every soldier, every woman, child, every human being on the planet. And then we extend that into nature and the David Kingdom. Until there is a unified energy of peace and freedom and easy resolution, permanent resolution where we write the program together, the whole world, and then find ways to solve all the problems peacefully and bring them to life. Just feel yourself connected and allow that to pipeline beyond you. Whenever you're ready, you can just become present again in your body. Open your eyes, be fully alert. Just to be clear, that was just imagery. No one was hypnotized. I do not have permission to hypnotize anyone like this. That requires a physical signature of permission. So this was just guided imagery. But it was an experience of the effect of transfiguration and pipelining. And if we agree to just run that visual for 5 or 10 minutes every day, once, twice a day. Myself, when I put myself into hypnosis, where I will do that about 3 times a day, I'll do my self-practice. I have added that on at the end of my practice. You can include that with your daily meditation when you first wake up and you're intending your day, or before you go to bed and you're so thankful for your safety and the warm bed that you're laying in that night with your full tummy from a delicious dinner and all of the beautiful things that you have in your life. We can connect with this. And we can have an impact. 24 hours, 23% drop in crime rate. I really want that to stick if there's one takeaway piece here. Scientifically proven. Did we have to one by one talk to everyone about their behavior, about their wounds, about why they behave the way they behave, about growing up dirt poor, afraid to be attacked by rats? We are all projecting our programming, and we see it, it's positive and it's negative, but we don't need to collapse everyone's programming around the world. We can pipeline out through transfiguration that resolve of peace and freedom. And with that, I want to say thank you so much again for this broadcast, for this opportunity, for everyone's time. I'm truly honored to be a part of it, and I wish you deep peace until I see you next month. Thank you for being who you are, and thank you for being here. Back to you.
And we'll be right back with channel, last final channel from the group, right after a word from our sponsors. Greetings, dear ones. I am. Those are the most important words, dear ones. I am, plain and simple. You are you, and I am me, very simply. And those two words set it into motion, for you are creator beings, and at that moment you determine who you are going to be
in every moment. Welcome, dear ones. Welcome, dear ones. Your magic is now starting to pervade the planet in different ways. And there's reasons for doing that. Before we get into the full message of what we wish to do here, and I am the keeper of time, by the way, but before we get into this full message of what we wish to tell you about today, we wish to hold hands in a very unique way. For there are some very interesting things taking place. You see, you're having a semi-war on your planet. Yes, we've been talking quite a bit about it during this time together. But there's an interesting process about it. It's only the governments that are at war. If you were to eliminate the governments and just bring the people together, you'd be able to resolve difficulties very quickly. The challenge is much larger than that, because it's out of the hands of the people. And what we can tell you is you can bring it back. Does that mean take to the streets? Well, many of you are. Bless you for doing so, making your words and your energy be felt in very powerful ways. Well done. But on top of that, just holding the energy, just holding your light in different ways and connecting it to others is huge. And that's one of the aspects we're going to ask you all to do right now, is to reach out and know that many of those that you are connecting to are on the other side of this war. Because you see, it's only the governments that are involved with this. The people are quite different. And what we'd like you to do is to hold the hearts of the people. Bring it in. If you are one of the people that are on one of these sides or the other, you can have a profound difference right now. And if not, simply imagine yourself in that situation, because you too are creator beings. You're just in a different location and a different opportunity. But much of this is starting to move at a whole new pace. Take a breath and send that love to the opposite side, whatever that is, whatever illusion you have of sides. Create that now. And know that all of you are truly one being, pretending to be separate, pretending to have separate lives, and pretending to have separate desires and needs even. Take a breath, dear ones, and release it slowly. It was a little while back that we started talking about the family of E. Yes, the family of E has been here since the beginning of this game, and well before that, because even before planet Earth existed, the family of E were the travelers of the universe. Because, dear ones, you're not the only game. You are not the only game like this around. There are many. There are so many you can't count them all, but that you can't even count the stars that are there in front of you. You can't even see them all. It's a fascinating time to be on live because you're starting to connect the hearts of all of these different places. And that is unique. That has not happened before in this way, but there's a reason for it. You see, the family of E, before they were incarnated on any planet, were spirits. They were specialist spirits because they would be sent to a game to help elongate the game, to help stretch it out. You see, you're playing a game in the illusion of time. And in that illusion, it's very simple. You have this long to play the game in a certain area. Well, interestingly enough, you have much more than what you thought. And because of playing it in some of the ways that you have, there are many things that are now starting to unfold. The family of E were specialists that would travel around to different places. And when they would see a planet, a group of beings starting to go in a direction that would be harmful or maybe end the planet early, end the game early, they would jump in and try to plant seeds to be able to alter that, to be able to elongate the game. Because the longer they were out there, the more opportunity you had of being able to see yourselves. It's a magical time to be able to do that. But we tell you, dear ones, that's the whole game. To be able to see who you truly are, even though you are pretending to be separate. That's the process that's going on. So the family of E would send out these experts in different places throughout the universe. You had no bounds of that nature. to try and elongate these games whenever possible, and you got really good at being able to find out where the difficulties were and where the challenges were, and how to, say, plant just a few simple seeds that would take root and elongate these beautiful games so that God could see God, so the humans could see the game that they were really playing. It was a fascinating time to be here, dear ones, and you did well, even as the family of E. But then came that opportunity, that one chance to try and start a new game where even the family of E could take off their wings and pretend to be human. What was the purpose of that? If you pretend to be human, you lose all your memory of who you were and what you came with and all the attributes that you brought to Earth. But you don't really lose them. You just lose the memory of it. The reality is it's deep within you. It's buried deep within your essence. And every breath you take exudes a little bit of that energy, even if you're not conscious of it. You know, so the family of E decided to start a whole new game. And in connection with all that is, began a whole game with no rules. The Planet of Free Choice. You're on it now. And as a result, many of the family of E decided to come in and actually play the game, take off their wings, to actually lose their memories of who they were and become finite for a period of time. Try and elongate this game as best as possible. Most people did not believe that this was going to work, and yet it completely started to work and unfolded things and advanced. You've now had one of the longer periods of any beings on anywhere alive in this side of being finite. This 10,000-year period called the Holocene has allowed you to play the game of pretending to be human, not only with yourselves, but with planet Earth herself. She had to also create this unique space to elongate the game as long as possible. Fascinating. Well, there's an interesting part now, and we've told you many times, dear ones, that many of you are here from 300 years in the future. Yes, try to describe exactly what that looked like and exactly what that process and why you're here. But you're not the only ones that are here. The family of E has been incarnating in massive numbers. And although they are very small, most of them are under 3 years old at this point, the reality is you have 12 million beings on the planet with these special attributes, and they are spread everywhere. Like planting seeds of light in the game of planet Earth. And we've told you about this. Someone asked how many of the family of E were on. And at that time, we said somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000. And then later, someone asked, well, what's an update to that? We said, over 1 million. Well, in this time frame now, you have over 12 million. But that's not the most important part. The most important part is that you've reached a critical mass. And even though there may still be some that come forward to incarnate on planet Earth to play this game, as it is getting rather interesting right now, the reality is you've reached a critical mass. The numbers that you had to bring back from 300 years in the future, in addition to the family of E, have put you over that mark. Now, that was just the base numbers that you needed in order to make this possible. Now we're going to see what happened, but it is possible. More now than ever before, as of 6 hours ago. You created it. You held it in your dreams as the family of E. And now you've created something very unique and very special indeed. These times are starting to gather in many ways, dear ones. You are very unique beings. Every part of your world is starting to come together in a unique way. But the most important part that we wish to remind all of you at, that you are creator beings. Oh yes, you cannot always see the evidence of it because you set out to create something and it doesn't always happen, or it doesn't always manifest the way that you think it's going to manifest. So it keeps you from understanding that you're the one that actually began that. And of course, you don't create alone. It would be easy. If you were the only manifester on the planet, that would be simple. You'd see every single creation that you have. But because you're creating in a harmony, if your creation is slightly out of harmonics, it won't manifest in the way that it normally would. So with that, creating in unison becomes the big piece. And now that you have your critical mass on planet Earth of light beings playing the most important game that they can play, your world is about to change again. Yes, you're due for a change and you're all ready for it with all the challenges that are going on right now. But this also sets the stage for awareness, for you to all start to awaken from the dream consciously, to take your places consciously. Even though you may not know exactly what it is you have brought to the table, we tell you it's there. And to simply step forward and to take your place, to know that you have a seat at the table, even though you don't know exactly what it's about. It will all come to you, dear ones. It will channel through you so fast, you will suddenly be speaking words that you're not even sure what the next one's going to be, but it will be clear and concise. Because you've set this up, and many of you have even set this up around the big table before you ever came in. And of course, as we mentioned, so many of you have traveled backwards in time to be here at exactly these moments, to work it, to be there consciously, instead of letting everything completely roll over you, like happened at one point. Things are starting to move now. It's an exciting time to be on Earth. We tell you, you have a golden ticket, or you wouldn't be here. And furthermore, you have something important to bring forward. Because, dear ones, you're part of the family of E. You are the masters that have traveled throughout the planet, throughout all the planets, to be able to find those little keys that would elongate the game, that would allow people to live in a harmony. Here you are on Earth going through your different phases. First phase, learning to follow the leader, and second phase of learning to follow yourself. Now it's all about harmony. How can you be empowered with every other empowered being right there? Yes, you have the powers of God, but you're not the only God. How can you harmonize your creations, your manifestations, because they are needed now? The critical mass has been reached. It's an exciting time, and we tell you, all eyes of the universe are now upon planet Earth. We have the greatest of visions for what is to come, but it's not up to us. It's up to you. Each of you individually choosing a path of your highest vibration. And we tell you many times it's been laid out before you ever got here. You're following the path of least resistance. Well done, dear ones, well done. Step forward. Own your power whenever possible. Know that to hold your power and consciously create does not mean that you take it from someone else. There, you have to learn the process of infinity, because that is what magic is all about. That is what creation is all about. That's what you're all about. Take a breath, dear ones. Step forward into the light every day. Know that your place has been waiting for you. You've done very well. And you've just been getting started. It's with the greatest of honor, dear ones, that we come together and bring you these reminders from home. They are just that, reminders. We see what you had in mind when you came to planet Earth, and we see where you are now. All we can do is remind you of who you really are and the incredible power that you hold. Hold it well. Hold it consciously. Use it often. You are the greatest angels that have ever lived anywhere. So with the greatest of honor, we ask you to treat each other with respect. Nurture one another and hold those doors open at every opportunity, and play well together in harmony. at every opportunity. Well done, dear ones. Well done. I am the keeper of time. I greet you with great joy. You are on the path. Keep it up. Aspavo, dear ones. I love you dearly.